Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Governed by Greed, as we pick up in Micah, chapter 4, verse 3. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
This past year, the nations of the world spent approximately $1 trillion for weapons, for armament, for defense. $1 trillion. Imagine if we had spent $1 trillion this past year to develop agriculture. You would not have thousands of people starving to death in Cambodia, other thousands more in the deserts of Odin, nor would you have them starving in Ethiopia. There would be enough for everybody, and you wouldn't be paying a dollar for a loaf of bread. If we would put this much money in feeding the world, you see how twisted man's values become when he's governed by his greed and by his lust rather than by the Lord? Because it is necessary for us to arm ourselves, to defend ourselves from being subdued by the enemies, there has been a misappropriation of funds. And money that could go for the betterment of mankind is being spent to destroy mankind. How twisted are the values of sinful man? More money in the budget to destroy than to aid and to help. Now, I feel that the defense budget is necessary because if we're going to survive, we've got to be strong. But it's tragic that we live in a world where there are those who are greedy for more power and more control, who have to be stopped and will only stop through the threat of force of arms. It's a sad world that you live in. It's a world that is preparing for war. A world that is coming to another gigantic conflict like our minds cannot imagine or conceive, as nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. But there's light at the end of the tunnel. After the next major world war, men will realize, hey, there's no profit and there's no future in this. And Jesus will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will have one ruler over the whole earth. And he will establish his throne in Jerusalem on Mount Zion. And then, and only then, will they beat their swords into plowshares and their swords into pruning hooks. And they will not learn war anymore. They'll begin then to divert the resources towards the betterment of mankind, towards agricultural development, towards just a better overall life for everyone. In that day, they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one will make them afraid. You can send your children to the store to get a bottle of milk and not worry about them being molested or accosted. You can take a walk in the evening along the beach and not worrying about someone assaulting you. They will live in safety. They will live in peace. No one will make you afraid. You'll not have to lock your doors at night. You'll not have to put the chains up and all. You can live in safety and in peace. Not be afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. That day is surely going to come. God has declared it. For all the people will walk everyone in the name of his God, And we will walk in the name of Yahweh, our God, forever and ever. Literally, all of the peoples do now walk in the names of their God, but then they will walk in the name of Yahweh in that day. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. In other words, here is God prophesying now the regathering of the Jews, the people of Israel, those that have halted, those that were driven out, those whom have been afflicted. And I will make her that halteth a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion from henceforth, even forever. And of course, that's what also what Isaiah said. He shall sit upon the throne of David to order it and to establish it in righteousness and in justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughters of Jerusalem. Now, why do you cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is your counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Before this comes, Israel is yet to have a period of great sorrow. They are going to be in travail. But when Zion travails, then shall she bring forth. Then will Christ come when the Zion or the Jews really began to cry out for their Redeemer, for their Savior. And when Zion travailed, then she brought forth, the scripture said. So he speaks here also of the woman in travail. Now Jesus said to the Jews, look, you're not going to see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The Lord has gone on up to be with the Father. He's not going to come back until they really travail and say, oh, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, for like a woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field. They're going to actually be driven out into the wilderness where God will nourish them for three and a half years. And thou shalt go even as far as Babylon, which is Iraq, and there shalt thou be delivered, and there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. And now the kingdom is to be set up. Now also many nations are gathered against thee. And they say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. There will be many who will be looking at Jerusalem with a covetous eye. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord. Now today, this is actually what is happening. So many nations are, of the Arab nations especially, looking at Israel, looking at Jerusalem, calling for a holy war against Israel. And these very things are happening right now. Many nations gathered against her. I think Israel has that unfortunate distinction of being probably the most isolated nation on the face of the earth. Almost every nation is gathered against her. Even as Zechariah prophesied, though the whole world be gathered together against, if she didn't have the Lord on her side, she'd really be in big trouble. They know not the thoughts of the Lord. They're all looking at Jerusalem saying, oh, we'll make Jerusalem, you know, the international city and all. They don't know the thoughts of the Lord. And neither do they understand his counsel. For he shall gather them as the sheaves on the threshing floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron. The horn is always a symbol of power, and I'll make your power as iron. And I will make thy hoofs brass. I'll use you for judgment against these nations. And thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord. You're going to spoil them. You're going to take their spoil. Now, we read in Ezekiel 38, that as Israel has been regathered as a nation in that time when God makes them a nation again, that he's going to put an evil thought into the leaders of Magog, which are identified historically as those north of the Crimea Mountains or the present-day Russia. And he will bring them out of their north quarters with all of their bands, the hordes, along with Iran and Iraq and Togarma, the Balkan states, and Gomer, the Eastern European states, along with Libya and Ethiopia, to invade the Middle East in order that they might take the spoil, the vast oil resources of the Middle East. But when they come into the mountains of Israel, God's fury is going to arise in his face and he's going to turn them back. And the Bible says that the Israelis will not have to worry about fuel for 7 years. They will burn the fuel of the invading armies for 7 years. So no worries about oil prices for them for 7 years as they just take and burn the fuel that has been brought in this invasion into the land. And it'll be a 7-year supply. So as here he said, thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord. You'll spoil them. You'll take the gain and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. Now, in chapter 5, Micah leaves that scene of the future, and he comes back to an intermediate scene. Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us, and they shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. That, of course, is a prophecy relating to Jesus Christ and was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 26, verse 67. He was smitten with a rod that it might be fulfilled as the prophet declared. And this is the prophecy here in Micah. Going on to prophesy concerning the Messiah. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth has been from old, from everlasting. And so the prophecy that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah. Now, the Jews believed this for years. In fact, when the wise men came to Herod and inquired concerning the birth of the king, where is he to be born who is to be the king of the Jews? Herod inquired of the scribes there in Jerusalem, and they answered him, in Bethlehem, because the prophet said, and thou Bethlehem, though I'll be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee. So they believed in that day that Bethlehem would be the birthplace of the Messiah. Now, of course, since Christ was born there, it would be impossible for that prophecy to be fulfilled again, because there is no one from the house of David left in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is now an Arab city. No one from the house of David left in Bethlehem. So the rabbis today have made up some other kind of an interpretation of this prophecy in Micah, and they say, no, it doesn't refer to the Messiah at all. But yet, in the time of Herod, the scribes and all definitely believed it and were looking for Bethlehem to be the birthplace of the Messiah. So I go along with the scribes and all at the time of Herod. They were closer to the truth, and surely Bethlehem became the birthplace of Christ. And since Christ, the dispersion after Titus in 70 AD, Bethlehem has not been a Jewish city and is not to the present day. So It would be impossible now because no one could really prove his genealogy to David anymore. So Bethlehem was to be the place from which the ruler of Israel would come, the king, whose goings forth has been from old. Now, here is the prophecy that Christ has always existed from everlasting. That could only be said of God. The word everlasting in the Hebrew is a very interesting word. There are two words in the Hebrew that are sort of translated everlasting. The one means the vanishing point, literally. So if you let your mind go back as far as you can, they say that the universe is 10 billion years old. Can you let your mind go back 10 billion years? Can you conceive of 10 billion years? I doubt it, but at least we can accept it as a figure. But what was before the universe came into existence? How far back can your mind take you? Our minds, being finite, can go back, but the further we go back, the narrower the lines get until you get to a vanishing point, and I just can't think beyond that. The vanishing point, that's one of the Hebrew words for everlasting. It's to the vanishing point, where you just can't conceive of anything further back. This particular Hebrew word means beyond the vanishing point. In other words, your mind goes back to the vanishing point and then beyond that, whose goings forth has been from everlasting. From beyond the vanishing point, he's existed. We read in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In the beginning, when was that? I don't know. Beyond the vanishing point, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And then John tells us, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And the Word became flesh in Bethlehem, that the prophecy might be fulfilled. And thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been, he's always existed from old, even from the vanishing point and beyond. Therefore, will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth? Then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. So the Messiah was cut off. Therefore, he will just give them up. Israel was given up in a sense by God. And now we are living in an age in which God is dealing among the Gentiles, drawing out a body of Christ. And such will be the case until Israel again begins to travail, seeking their Messiah. Until she which travails has brought forth. And then God's grace and glory will return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand, and this is a prophecy concerning Christ and his relationship to Israel in the kingdom age. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, and in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and he shall abide, for now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. Remember when Gabriel was talking to Mary concerning the child that was to be born? He said, and he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So all of this word of Gabriel to Mary tied together with the prophecies of the Old Testament. And this man shall be the peace. He is the peace. In Isaiah, he prophesied, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, the prophet Micah says, for he is our peace. And Paul tells us that in Romans or in Ephesians, for he is our peace, who has broken down the barriers that used to exist between man and has made us all one together in him. And there is no real peace until the walls of separation are broken down between men. He is our peace, who has broken down these walls. And so the beautiful prophecies concerning Christ. Now, when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and this is, of course, a prophecy of this last day invasion by Russia. And when they shall tread in our palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. You say, who are they? I don't know. We'll find out when it happens. And they shall waste the land of Assyria with a sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. And thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian when he comes into our land and when he treads within our borders. The king of the north in those last days. Not only Russia, but probably also a reference to Armageddon.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Micah on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Micah 4 through 5 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
May the Lord bless you and keep you steadfast in the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. And may you experience each day more of His love, more of His Spirit working in your life. As you yield yourself to God, may you know that power through the Holy Spirit. And may God thus enable you to do His work, and may your life be blessed as you serve the Lord in the opportunities that He gives to you this week. And have a beautiful week in Jesus.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
The 1960s became one of the most colorful periods in American history. The counterculture was dropping out and turning on. The Summer of Love was the stage for many dramas of change, and the most popular musical group in the world was singing All You Need Is Love. But one man in Southern California was reaching out with the answer, and the truth began to set people free. Author and pastor Chuck Smith began to share the love of Jesus Christ with a generation that was looking for love in all the wrong places. Now, some 40 years later, the gospel of love is still changing lives. In his book, simply titled Love, The More Excellent Way, Pastor Chuck Smith expounds upon the love that can change your life now and forever.
For more information on how to obtain your copy, visit a bookstore nearest you or call 1-800-272-WORD or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. That's thewordfortoday.org.